Good morning. It's always a joy to have you joining us for the Word for Life radio ministry. And we appreciate so very much your prayers and your interest in the study of God's Word. Sometimes it's interviewing folks concerning changes that God has brought about in their lives. We happen to be in the midst of a study of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Thank you for joining us. The last time we were talking about not being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, Ephesians 4:23 tells us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, our problem is not our minds, but that which controls our minds. The spirit of your mind controls what your mind thinks about. The spirit of your mind is like that huge turntable in a train roundhouse. The engines are huge, and so as they come in from one direction and they need to be going in the opposite direction to be loaded up with another load of train cars, they have to be totally turned around to be able to go in that opposite direction. So that happens in what's called a roundhouse. Huge engine, totally turning around in new direction. This is what God is talking about, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, have you ever wondered what happened to Eve in the garden? What happened to the spirit of her mind? See, up to that point, she had lived for God and loved it. In fact, she thought God's commandments were for her protection, and she loved him for it. But then the devil came along and tempted her spirit to become bitter toward God and told her that God was holding out on them of the joy that they really deserved. So the sin was really in the change that took place in the spirit of her mind. She now resented God and his rulership. See, the sin didn't start when she ate the fruit, but when she became angry with God and his prohibition. The Bible says in Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You see, God even identifies that the thoughts of our hearts are the source of our action. Now, there's only one thing that can change a person's conduct. It's regeneration. That's totally being regened by the Holy Spirit. And the new genes, it becomes genetic, as it were, causes us to think and act like God, because the Holy Spirit is the one doing the regeneration. And it's in that same anger that drives us to disobey the Lord. That's the reason our mind has to be transformed. Totally. Because the spirit of my mind has to change. See, the object of salvation is that we can be forgiven and kept out of hell. No question about that. But it's also that our minds will be renewed. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15 say, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." All right, so we're talking about salvation. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." See, we are changed mentally. And when that happens, then often others are able to see it and hear it in our comments. And then thirdly, we are not only changed morally, changed mentally, but we are changed motivationally. The last part of the verse says, "that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The word "prove" means after passing a test, you are proven. And so every situation that arises is a test to show you whether you are changed morally or mentally or not. And then it says, "that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, that's the key word of the verse. The ultimate motive for doing all that has been commanding us to do, not being conformed to this world, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we do all that, we may then prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You can now understand and appreciate the will of God in a way that you've never been able to do so before. See, salvation is more than forgiveness of sin. It's more than having a happy experience. It's more than the prospect of heaven. It's more than victory over that one great temptation that you face. It is to conform you to the will of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, if you don't pay attention to the renewing of your mind, you'll never know what God's will is for you. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, verses 8 and 10, that you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So study the Bible and learn what God's like. Begin every day by surrendering your body to the Lord. Spend time in His Word. Prepare your thinking for the new day. Then pray and abide in Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to live His life in your body, yielding your plans for your day to His plans. So you pray about those tasks that upset you and worry you, because He's always going to see you through, because He never leaves you nor forsakes you. So determine to have no will of your own. Discover that the will of God is good, because Joseph discovered that everything he'd experienced from his brother's hands, Potiphar and his wife and the jailer, was meant by God for good, Genesis 50 and verse 20. So the will of God is perfect. It is secondly acceptable, it's good, and it's now desirable to you as long as you live it and allow it to direct your thoughts, your emotions, and your will. Kind of like the psalmist David said in Psalm 119, 97, "Oh, how I love thy law." Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, "Your delight is in the law of the Lord." See, Abraham discovered that God's will for his son Isaac was acceptable, even when it seemed to contradict what was humanly impossible. But 1 John 5, 3 says, "His commands are not grievous." Then thirdly, the will of God is perfect. It's the climax of all that you seek, to be totally conformed to the image of Christ. Hebrews 13:21 says that it make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. See, God's will is good, it's desirable, and perfect to meet every situation that you face every day of your life. And so we see then that that which was lost in the sin of Adam and Eve, we've regained in the salvation through Christ. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us, live like it. Live like everything has changed. Now, let me remind you of the sequence of these two verses. Verse number 1, present your body to Christ for His total use. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just given Him your body and said, "Lord, these lips are yours, these eyes are yours, these ears are yours, these hands and feet are yours, this mind is yours"? Give Him your body, a living sacrifice. Then you'll be able to resist the conforming forces of the world and your peers. And you will be available to just do whatever God wants you to do and be whatever God wants you to be, because it's transforming that's taking place, not conforming by the pressures of the world. Then the Bible tells us that your mind, being transformed by the Word of God in prayer, will make you adaptable. Adaptable. And it's only then that you can test each situation to determine God's will. Now, I've discovered that many times God likes to put you in a situation where if He doesn't act, something will fail. Are you going through something like that? right now in your life where if God doesn't come through, it's all going to fall apart. Reminds me of 1 Samuel chapter 17. David put himself into a situation like that. Went down into the valley. Goliath is roaring all of his insults against the Lord God of Israel. And David reminded Goliath, "You're not fighting against me. You're fighting against the God of gods. And my God is going to take your head off. Oh, he'll use my hands today, but you're dead meat. You're gone." Why? Because God put David in a situation where if God didn't act, something would fail. David would fail. All of Israel would flee. Remember the fiery furnace? That's what the three Hebrew children did. They put themselves into a situation where if God did not act, then they were goners. But you know what? They said, "We'd rather die in the fire than live under the compromising stand of worshiping the golden image." You know, the sad thing is this. Nebuchadnezzar carried 10,000 Jewish young men captive from the land of Judah. We do not know the names of 9,996 of them because they caved. They gave in. They conformed. They decided they're going to fit in. But four men, these three Hebrew children and Daniel, four men decided, "We're going to take a stand. If we die, we die. But if not," there are the key words, "but if not." You see, God is not done working through people who will dedicate their bodies a living sacrifice. Dwight L. Moody one time heard the statement made, "God has yet to see a man that is totally dedicated to the will and work of God." And Dwight L. Moody said to himself, "With God's help, I will be that man." And he turned England and the United States upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ because he decided Romans 12, 1 and 2 was going to be the pattern of his life. Now, my Christian friend, you've been listening to this broadcast the last couple of days. God is asking you, give your body a living sacrifice and not allow it to be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind through prayer, through meditation on God's word, and God will not only enable you to stand out, but stand up. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.